Okay, everybody. Good Friday morning. Let me put my safety helmet down since I realize that you folks are a good distance away from me. Let me move that over a little bit. Luke's got me looking kind of nuts here. All right, here we go. Excuse the little hair mess up here, but you'll just have to deal with that this morning. Anyway, I've got my Carl Winters elixir here. I got me ginger. And I got me lemon in there. And a wee little spot of honey in there. So, how's everybody doing out there in YouTube land? How are you doing? You all holding it together here on lockdown? Huh? Everybody doing good? I don't want to catch what Carl Winters has. He's got some real bad internet HIV that I don't want to catch from him. It's called no-eyed virus. And the helmet protects me from Carl Winters' no-eyed virus. Dot, dot, dot. Hey, look, I can still talk through this thing. Can you still hear me? Carl Winters, no-eyed virus.
Whoa, I wonder what my voice sounds like in here. This is kind of fun.
Beautiful day in the neighborhood. Right? I won't get the no-eyed virus in my trachea. Carl Winters has that and it's contagious. Maybe he should drink some of this lemon ginger stuff that he told me to drink. Right. Well, anyway, you know, I got two things I kind of want to talk about. No, Kelly, there's no garlic in this. One can live on biscuits and gravy alone. Speaking temporally, of course. Anyway, I got to find that video. I hope you don't mind. There's a couple videos. One that I just can't get to leave my mind. And it's got to be one of my favorite videos. And I could, the Lord's going to give me liberty to deal with that. Or if he wants me to go right into, I wrote a ton of notes this morning in my devotion. I usually like to get through a chapter of Psalms, a chapter of Proverbs, and a chapter in the New Testament, somewhere like that. Well, what happens is my phone rings. That's what happens. What happens is I get stuck sometimes. Not stuck. It's actually a good thing. But I start studying, and then I end up just like, yeah, it just doesn't stop. So I don't get farther than that. It took me an hour and a half, and I was studying that chapter, you know, and not like intensely every single word. You know, but a lot of it. So what I might do is do 1 hour, 1 hour of this, and then the second hour, which might go over, by the way, I might teach that. Or if I get caught up so long in this, then Monday, we'll talk about Psalm 42. It's a message for the depressed in times like these. I never want to forget about the afflicted and depressed during this time because it's a very serious time for mental health. And well, that's weird. You know what's weird? When you get a friend request out of nowhere by somebody. Yeah, that's weird. Yeah, that's kind of weird. Makes a fellow wonder just why, when you haven't heard from somebody in a very long time, you end up getting a friend request from them. Yep, that's true. What's Kayla talking about? Well, Kayla, I'd worry about no eyed laws about as much as I worry about the flat earth. That's what I'd say. So anyway, I find myself in a straight betwixt. Anyway, let's see here. Let me find what I was looking for before I got interrupted. I made that my Facebook profile page, or that my Facebook profile picture, which I thought was really cool. Right? Meanwhile, back at the Batcave, CLA is entrapping churches into 501c3 incorporated churches into taking bucks from the state. Uh-oh. To the feds. Well, now. That seems a little interesting now, doesn't it? Not for me. I've kept track of those guys for years. It's no small secret that I do not like David Gibbs. I do not trust him. I do not like him. I would not eat with him in a house. I would not eat with him with a mouse. I would not eat with him next to a chair. I would not eat with that man anywhere. No, I would not. I would stay away from him. That's right. I would stay away. You know, I showed you a video. Well, here's one, too. Whoa, what happened? This one's awesome. Check this out. That's good. That's important. And so is that. Nobody laughs like Fat Asian Boy. Nobody. Great laughs. I need a mask like that. Is this not true, though? This right here? Does anybody think this is true? I do. That's true. That is really true. We're going to talk about some of these things here today. The resistance that is coming. I wish I had my Alex Jones music right now. Be awesome. You don't mind if I play this, do you? Really hope you don't.
Well, I was on the phone cooking me and my baby some breakfast, and she said, "Hey, something wrong, it's popping." I said, "What?" She said, "Yeah." I said, "No." So the girl come downstairs, she come out her apartment with her baby with no shoes on. I said, "Oh, girl, it's cold outside." She said, "Something ain't right." I said, "Oh, man." She said, "Oh, man, the building is on fire." I said, "No, what?" I got my three kids and we bounced out. We ain't gonna be in no fire, not today.
I gotta listen to that again.
My friend came to the door. She said, "Well, I was on the phone cooking me and my baby some breakfast." And she said, "Hey, something wrong, it's popping." I said, "What?" She said, "Yeah." I said, "No." So the girl come downstairs. She come out her apartment with her baby with no shoes on. I said, "Oh, girl, it's cold outside." She said, "Something ain't right." I said, "Oh, man." She said, "Oh, man, the building is on fire." I said, "No, what? I got my three kids and we bounced out. We ain't gonna be in no fire, not today."
That right there has to be one of the greatest videos ever right there. Hands down, one of the greatest right there. Who can even deny that? how about this one? You can't just call every gun grabber a commie. That's where you're wrong, commie. I love it. I thought I'd post this for all of you. That lady could do the news for me anytime and I would love it. Look, Carl, you're way too... Oh, where's the leprechaun fake news clip? That was the best. I don't know if that had any cuss in it, though, so I don't remember. I can't remember. It's been... I thought I saw it, but I don't remember if it did. I don't watch them if they do. I just don't watch them, but I couldn't remember if it did. Well, now, we have lots of resistance. Carl Winter, stop talking bad about Zuckerberg. He's your daddy. Just knock it off, all right? Carl's always acting like he's Mr. Look, Carl. Do you like have a t-shirt that says you're in the conspiracy club brigade? Like do you have secret memberships to like conspiracy clubs where you guys get special decoder rings the more conspiracies you talk about? I do want to talk about this resistance, though, okay? Because there's a lot of it going on right now. The resistance is growing. People are starting to wake up to some things. Now, let me say this before I get started. Everything doesn't have to be fake for government to conduct itself unjustly. What I mean by that is government can go overboard in real situations. So government can miscalculate, go overboard, take advantage of people in real situations. It doesn't have to be that way. It doesn't have to be a total hoax for it to be legitimate that, man, my lighting's off for some reason. I don't know what the deal is with that. Anyway, but it doesn't have to be. It doesn't have to be a complete conspiracy for or something fake or whatever, or a hoax or a false flag or anything like that for government to not operate correctly or to operate and put people under duress, even though the situation or the circumstances are right. Okay? Somebody open the blinds behind me. Who did that? There's nobody here. You mean I have to look all unprofessional and I have to shut the blinds behind me? What's going on here? I can't do that. I can't leave the silver OPBC microphone. Sorry, I can't do that. So all of you will have to have a dull shade behind you. So my point is, is that it doesn't have to be that way. It doesn't have to be for that to be a real conspiracy, or I mean, for that to be a real pandemic that's happened, or anything like that. It's just dealing with facts. What I'm telling you is with most people, and listen closely, with most people, you can deal with facts. There's enough in the facts of this There's enough of the facts in this with just using facts that we come to the conclusion that there's a problem. Now, let me say this to you. I want to show you some things of some people that are starting to fight back. There it is. Okay. I'm going to save the CLA stuff for me and David Ickes when we talk on Wednesday. We're going to save that. But let's look at this. Let's look at some government stuff. I was happy to see this. I was happy to see this today. Not Reese's Peanut Butter Cups. Although I'm always happy to see Reese's Peanut Butter Cups. Yesterday when I was looking, top Minnesota GOP lawmaker opposes Governor Tim Walz's extended stay-at-home order on coronavirus. The top-ranking Republican in the Minnesota legislature on Thursday came out against Governor Tim Walz's decision to extend the state's stay-at-home order amid mounting GOP pushback to the DFL governor's handling of the coronavirus pandemic. I do not approve of the governor's unilateral decision to continue the order to shelter at home until May 4th, Senate Majority Leader Paul Gazelka tweeted Thursday. We have to get on with our lives. Exactly. See, here's the thing. Where we're at in Minnesota, let me show you the numbers. Confirmed cases, recovery nearly 750 deaths. Now, some of those deaths, now listen, I don't, like David Ickes said, I'm not saying all this is nefarious, because sometimes they list these deaths, but a couple guys have a problem with it now, but sometimes they list these deaths like that. So they listen to, or they list them, if they had corona or something like that, then that's what they died from. It's kind of like it's what killed you off. Some of these folks were 80, a lot of these were, the average age was like 80 years old or something like that. And, you know, that's what finished them off. They listed as COVID. So anyway, but this is our numbers here. That's our numbers. These are not like New York numbers, right? They're not like numbers. You know, United States confirmed cases, 475,000. 26,000 recovered, 17,820 deaths. I would say they play a little bit loose with the numbers on some of those. Okay? That's what I would say. I would say some of the numbers are played with a little bit loose. But needless to say, that's the death rate. Now, we were told a week ago that we should prepare for 200,000 deaths. Thank the Lord that's not true. Okay, so let's go back to the Minnesota GOP and what they're saying. The tweet marked a shift in tone for the East Gull Lake Republican. While he previously expressed grave concerns about the original order, he has largely refrained from publicly criticizing the governor as they work together on COVID-19 response legislation. Just 24 hours earlier, Gazelka had called Waltz's move to allow more businesses to operate under the revised order welcome news. And that is good. And I would say that our governor has probably been a little bit more balanced than a lot of the other ones. Waltz defended his decision to extend the order Thursday, saying it was based on data and guidance from health experts. He said the revised order will allow about 80% of Minnesotans to continue to work and has been criticized by others as too lax. He also signaled this week that his team is looking at relaxing some business closures in stages. That's just it, Mike. Sometimes overplaying, sometimes underplaying. So you really have to use wisdom. It's like for our church, I have used wisdom, and for the time being, we've done online services for now. But as I'm constantly monitoring these numbers and seeing what's going on, you know, I have to come up with a decision. My heart breaks for people who are worried for their economic well-being, but you can't get frustrated, go on a hunch and throw caution to the wind and pretend like our neighbors' lives are somewhat disposable. Well, that's not what anybody's saying. Nobody's saying people's lives are disposable. Those people that are worried need to stay home. Gazelka's statement comes amid growing pushback from state Republicans who question the governor's use of executive power and whether the actions meant to curb the fast spread of the virus are merited and worth the economic toil. So you have to weigh it out. You say, well, I don't want anybody to get sick. Listen, folks, this doesn't stop people from getting sick. What they're saying is it buys them time. I get it. Look, I have potential spam that just came on my phone. You have potential spam. That's kind of weird. I wonder what potential spam is. Anyway, so Senator Andrew Matthews, let me back up. It is past time to allow reopening of businesses that are clearly COVID safe, tweeted Senator Abelier of Anoka. Many should have never been closed in the first place. Tragically, some of those are gone for good. Unnecessary collateral damage in the COVID war. Senator Andrew Matthews of Princeton questioned why major stores like Walmart remain open while smaller companies that feel they can operate safely are closed, saying the blanket order does not fit our largely rural area. Right. There's parts of the state that are completely rural that do not have the same problems. And you just blanket put them under that. And now their businesses are being shut down and destroyed. So while I understand where people are in concentrated bigger areas or where there's breakouts at, that you got to control that and try. I get that. But I also get that people have the right to be dumb. We have a right to be dumb. Like, I'm going to play you a clip. From Judge Napolitano. Beyond the economic impact, some Minnesota Republicans are questioning the model the state is using to project illness and death, and in some cases, the severity of the outbreak itself. In a second tweet Thursday, Gazelka noted that the state's estimates plan for 5,000 ICU cases at the pandemic's peak, a figure higher than New York, an epicenter of the outbreak, is seeing today. We are ready for the surge now, he wrote. Why shut Minnesota businesses down for a New York-sized surge? Waltz said, while he hopes he is wrong about the need for the beds in Minnesota, all the data shows me I cannot risk that at this time. I will certainly change course of action based on the facts, but the facts don't support taking it off right now, he said, of the stay-at-home order. No one else is doing that. No one else is suggesting we do that. Questions about the model have prompted calls for more transparency on the assumptions and data used for the state's projection. House Minority Leader Kurt Daught of Crown on Thursday urged state officials to make that information public. Everyday legislators are fielding dozens of calls from families and business owners whose lives have been turned upside down as a result of the decisions based on modeling Minnesotans, the model for Minnesotans. It would help Minnesotans to help for themselves to see the data. Minnesota Department of Health officials, anyway, blah, blah, blah. Okay, so there's some resistance there. There's some resistance coming from that. Okay, let me see. Let me see if I can find this. Man, that's annoying. All right. Hang on 1 second. I want to find you something here.
Complete in thee, no work of mine could take, dear Lord, the place of thine. Thy blood hath pardon bought for me, and I am now complete in thee. Yea, justified, O blessed thought, and sanctified salvation wrought. Thy blood hath pardon bought for me, and glorified I too shall be. Complete in thee each want supplied, and no good thing to me
All right. Judge Napolitano said this the other day.
The Fifth Amendment says no person shall be deprived of life, liberty, or property without due process of law. And the 14th Amendment says nor shall any state deprive any person of life, liberty, or property without due process of law. So who should we sue and how should we do it?
Well, you first need a plaintiff who has been injured. Even though you and I, and probably most people listening to us now, are profoundly offended by the destruction of civil liberties in America today in the name of public health, unless a person is actually injured distinctly from all others, the person doesn't have standing. Standing is a requirement of the Constitution that actually protects us from the judicial branch just issuing edicts rather than resolving real disputes. So, for example, if a person was arrested for standing too close to somebody else in public or for standing on a soapbox, so to speak, on a street corner in Manhattan and condemning the destruction of civil liberties, that person would have standing to sue. And the best place to sue is in federal court, not in a state court. The state courts, some states there's a difference. When I sat in New Jersey, I had life tenure, so I had no need to curry favor with the powers that put me there. But in most states, the state court judges are politicians in black robes who have to run for re-election, and that means please the establishment. Hence, you want to file these charges in a federal court where all the judges are life-tenured, and they tend, not always, but they tend to have more personal courage and more fidelity to the Constitution. I was particularly appalled last night at the interview that my colleague and your former colleague, Laura Ingraham, had with Attorney General Barr. Not anything she said, but he said, some of this stuff is a little harsh. We really have to balance civil liberties and public safety. That is absolutely the wrong word. It is not balance. It is bias. It is a bias in favor of freedom, because freedom is the default position. That's not me. That's Jefferson and the Declaration of Independence and Madison and the Bill of Rights.
Judge, one of our listeners texted us yesterday and said, you know, Austin, if Missouri was having the same problems that New York was having, we would have no talk like I've been saying for weeks that we need to reopen this economy now. There would be no discussion, and I would not be saying that if we were in New York City. You're in New York. You're up in that danger zone. Do you think that New York ought to be governed differently from Missouri?
No. No. Listen, Andrew Cuomo, whose bully pulpit I admire with respect to educating and admonishing people into sensible behavior, caught himself yesterday when he said, if too many of you are gathered in Central Park, the police will stop you for breaking the L. He started the sound of the word L as in law, and he caught himself and said rules. He knows these are not laws. He knows that he's the governor, and the governor in our system and a mayor in our system does not write laws and fix penalties. Only the legislature does. Even President Trump has referred to this stuff. Not a person punctilious in his respect for the Constitution has referred to all these things as guidelines. That's all they are. A guideline doesn't have the force of law, and a person can't be punished by the government with the governor making up the level of punishment, as he's done in New Jersey, for example. The governor keeps changing the punishment.
But see, here's the thing. They say it, Trent. They say that it suspends the Constitution, but it really doesn't. It really doesn't.
Because people are holding coronavirus parties.
Yikes.
Coronavirus parties are absurd and insane and stupid and selfish, but they are not unlawful. The Constitution is the same everywhere, Austin. And
completely
the people
agree.
Took an oath to uphold it need to recognize that.
I agree. White House senior advisor Jared Kushner has a task force. They're reaching out to a range of health technology companies about creating a national coronavirus surveillance system to give the government a near real-time view of where patients are seeking treatment and for what, and whether hospitals can accommodate them, according to people with knowledge on these discussions. Is that constitutional?
Well, it's not constitutional because the Supreme Court, again, not I, the Supreme Court has said that surveillance is a search, and a search requires a search warrant and a system whereby electronically everybody who gets sick would be monitored. so they're happy that we've achieved this level of central planning.
Well, no
in
kidding.
The United States.
He would
and
love it, Judge.
Can't deliver them.
Yeah, and they've also turned our citizens against each other, asking us to report on one another. If you see something, report it. And too many of our fellow citizens, Judge, are like what you wrote in your book, a nation of sheep. They are turning NKVD on each other, and they're doing their work for us. It's like we have to become China to fight this Chinese disease. It's disgusting.
Yes. Yes, yes, I couldn't have said it better. So the government that can't deliver the mail and can't stop robocalls is going to assess everybody's health and reallocate medical resources to hospitals? Come on! Where do these people live?
Yeah,
now, look, we laugh at this because it is absurd. But when people in power start talking about this, and when the rest of us, not you, not me, not your colleague there in the studio with you, and probably not most people listening to us, but most Americans are terrified, they will surrender their liberties to the government. And when the crisis passes, Austin, the government doesn't give those liberties
back. That's what I've been trying to tell people, Judge.
The Patriot Act was enacted for 5 years as a temporary measure to find terrorists. It's still around.
They don't believe me, Judge. They don't believe me. I've been saying this for weeks, and they think that I'm a crazy person, and I'm telling them that they are giving away the keys to the kingdom. One last question. 1 minute left, Judge. Only one man stood alone against the establishments of both parties, against the National Socialists and the Democratic Socialists. Thomas Massey has asked them to come and vote for the biggest giveaway in the history of the American Republic. He seems to be the only person standing alone out there fighting this one. What do you think of Thomas Massey's behaviors?
I think he's an American hero who will be treated very kindly by history. Justin Amash was with him, but he wasn't as forceful as loud. But Thomas Massey has the courage of a tiger and the fidelity to the Constitution and the Declaration of Jefferson and Madison wrapped up in one person.
Judge Napolitano, we need your voice more than ever. Man, I miss you, Judge. You're doing a great job. Thank you so much for just existing, okay?
God love you, Austin. Thank you. And an early happy Easter to you and your family.
And you as well. Many blessings upon you. Coming up next at 6:50.
Okay, so anyway, interesting what he covers there and what he talks about. And I agree with him. And I think it's pretty clear that the grumblings and the resistance are starting from people. They're starting to be like, okay, wow, did all this happen real fast? And now that the shock is over, people are starting to think more. They got time on their hands to sit around and think. So they're like, okay, now that I'm thinking about this, this is kind of weird. Some of these things aren't adding up. And then when they're draconian, crazy, insane numbers get here, then and I look at their numbers and I'm like, okay, well, that didn't happen. But now they can say they're the hero because 200,000 people didn't die, but 17,000 people did. So it starts to make people think a little bit. Let's see. Where was I here? Hold on. Right here. Check this out. Meet the former New York Times.
People take me.
What is that? Okay, there we go. Meet the former New York Times reporter who is challenging the coronavirus narrative. He says, okay, I don't know about this. The response we have taken has caused enormous societal devastation. I don't think that's too strong of a word, he told Fox News in an interview Thursday. Berenson is the former reporter who worked for the Times from 1999 to 2010, primarily covering the pharmaceutical industry. He recently came to the prominence, well, again, with a book, Tell Your Children the Truth About Marijuana, Mental Illness, and Violence. The response we've taken to this has caused enormous devastation. He's right, it has. He's not talking about conspiracy theories or everything else. He's just saying the models guiding the response were wrong. That's my point, that a lot of this stuff, you don't have to get into conspiracies or anything else. You just deal with the facts and be like, you know, your models seem pretty skewed, like 2 million people are going to die if we don't do nothing. In February, I was worried about the virus. By mid-March, I was more scared about the economy. But now I'm starting to get genuinely nervous, he tweeted this week. This isn't complicated. The models don't work. The hospitals are empty. Why are we still talking about indefinite lockdowns? Hospitals, of course, are not empty in places like hard-hit New York City. And tales are widespread of overburdened doctors and emergency rooms. Berenson acknowledges much in the interview Thursday. Concerns that this virus is significantly more contagious and deadly than any ordinary flu strand are what's driving the current government approach in America. America's reports the highest number of cases in the world right now. More than 430,000 cases, nearly 15,000 deaths. But Berenson took a broader look. He initially challenged the model put forward by the Imperial College. Right, that's the one I told you about weeks ago. I said it doesn't add up. It just doesn't add up. That was March 22nd or 23rd. Ever since then, I've been paying incredibly close attention to the modeling and trying to figure out whether it lines up with what we're seeing in reality. And answer it is, hasn't lined up at all. Hasn't lined up at all. We believe that our healthcare delivery system in the United States is quite extraordinary, Dr. Burke. Social distancing is working. So now let's lock you down in your homes. Let's make you breathe out of a little hole that big. And that's what you got to do for the rest of your life. I'm sorry, but this guy creeps me out. I don't like this guy. I don't like that little guy. I think he's a little shill from hell. I don't like him. I don't like him. I think he's going to get a stinking prize for this. I think they're both going to look like heroes for this, both these doctors. But I'm telling you, it's bad in that sense. Aside from New York nationally, there's been no health system crisis. In fact, to be truly correct, there has been a health system crisis, but the crisis at hospitals are empty. You know, I thank God about one thing. Let me tell you what I thank God for. A lot of things. But let me tell you what I thank God for. Good health, and that we're not all sick like that. But here's another thing I thank God for. People are realizing, hey, wait a second. I don't need to go to the hospital when I have gas. I could actually stay home and self-medicate and figure things out. I could use some home remedies. I could tough out the cold. I don't need medicine all the time. Right? Think about that. Because he's saying it right there. There are a lot of people losing their jobs because nobody's using hospitals for anything else. That's why there's a crisis, not because they're working millions of hours. He also argued in lengthy Twitter threads that the drop in cases seen in various states has come before lockdowns would have been had impact, since it takes a few weeks for social distancing measures to take effect due to the window between infection and systems. Uh-oh. little bit of truth there to mess people up, right? Hold on, I'm typing something. Got to do this, can't help it. Anyway, think about it, though, because here's what's going on. So, he says, hey, wait a minute, I don't even know if these lockdowns even work. Oops, sorry, guys. Let me switch that over. I don't even know if these are working. Berntson blames the models for response that has effectively shut down large sectors of the economy and is causing significant financial harm to Americans. On Thursday, it was announced that the number of Americans seeking unemployment swelled to 6.6 million last week, surging to the fourth for the third consecutive week. There is incredible pressure to do something. So these lockdowns all cascaded. Every governor tried to outdo the next. And no one stopped and said, okay, what about Japan? They don't seem to have the terrible epidemic. They wear masks. Maybe we should wear masks, he said. Now we're in a bad spot. Clearly, there's clearly a dangerous political dynamic right now. The economy's in a free fall. A lot of people are hurting. If we acknowledge what is clearly happening, the people who made these decisions... Right? The people that made these decisions, we're all stuck with them. I think there's going to be a lot of anger at them. So they don't want to acknowledge it. So they say, oh, it's the lockdown that saved us. God bless you, Cindy. Hope you have a good day. Let's see. He said, I went to Yale and worked for the New York Times. The people on the left hold themselves out as being science-driven, as being smarter. They think they're smarter, but they won't look at the facts that won't meet their narratives, he said. He voiced frustration that these arguments have been ignored by a lot of mainstream outlets. That's frustrating to me. I think the guy makes some good points. I think he makes some real good points. Whoa, I don't know where that's coming from. Oh, probably this page. Let's see. There we go. There we go. Hang on a second. Let's go here.
Oh,
All right. So, let's see. Where's my article? Hold on. Here we go. Now, when I tell you about the resistance, I told you about this, that is coming, that's here. Trump officials lay groundwork for May reopening. The Trump administration is laying the foundation to push for a reopening as part of parts of the U.S. economy as early as the beginning of May, amid rising pressure over unemployment, numbers rivaling those during the Great Depression. And they are. President Trump and top government officials in recent days have talked about seeing glimmers of hope and light at the end of the tunnel. The president has floated reopening business parts of the country that never should have been shut down, by the way. All of them, anyway. The Center for Disease Control and Prevention, CDC, on Wednesday unveiled guidelines meant to encourage those in official critical sectors who have been exposed to the coronavirus but aren't showing symptoms to continue to work. Treasury Secretary Steve Mnuchin told CNBC on Thursday that he believes companies could reopen in May as long as Trump feels comfortable with the medical issues. But even with an aggressive approach, optimistic outlook, the decision to reopen the economy may largely be out of federal government's hands. Many governors have imposed strict measures to try to stamp out the virus, with some stay-at-home orders in place through the end of May or later. And public health experts warn that without significantly expanding testing and contact tracing capabilities, give me a break. People get sick. It's going to happen. Officials putting a date on the economic reopening after Trump was widely criticized for floating Easter Sunday. The peak in domestic cases is expected on April 11th, according to a model produced by Christopher Murray. Yeah. But the White House has grown increasingly optimistic that the roughest period will soon pass. Anthony Fauci and Deborah Birx, key health officials on the Corona Task Force, have pointed to signs that social distancing guidelines are working, and the projected death count domestically has declined. And still, the model the White House has been relying on assumes that social distancing continues through May. Yeah, right. We are hoping with cautious optimism that at the same time we're in for a bad week, we're going to start to see a turnaround. The president said Wednesday he would rely very heavily on the advice of health experts when considering how and when to reopen the country. And, you know, they don't want us to act too soon. Oh, don't act too soon. Trump has spoken broadly about how he'd like to see the economy reopen either all at once or with a big bang, or more realistically in phases, depending on whether the virus is most prevalent, where the virus is most prevalent. The strength of the economy has long been the central argument for Trump's reelection bid. Officials expect the White House to form a second, smaller coronavirus task force that would be dedicated to mapping out how to reopen the economy. Give me a break. One former administration official bemoaned that there are already too many cooks in the kitchen. I don't think they've developed a plan to reopen things. The official said, what areas can go first? What happens with restaurants? How many people can you have? How many tables? Let's all just go run and hide somewhere for a year. May 1st has to be a hard deadline for getting things open and running, said Stephen Moore, the economist and former Trump campaign advisor who advised the reopening parts of the country on a rolling basis, beginning with less impacted areas. There has to be a collaboration of the best medical advice, plus hang on a second. These guys, right here, they believe, I'm changing that title, hold on. These guys believe that, you know, you should open up in stages. They believe that you should do, you know, different things like that. But here's the thing. people that are losing money, people are hurting. You know, the way they designed this whole shutdown, it's going to make people that go back to work very leery. Very leery. Let's see here. Now let's get to some church resistance. Kansas City governor to sue lawmakers who overturned order limiting size of religious gatherings. There's a lot of people that are starting to push back on this. Some lawmakers, like the ones in Minnesota, are starting to say, I don't know about this. This is getting a little too much. Now, the Kansas governor, he goes after the suit because they overturned, the legislator overturned his right to limit religious gatherings. Kansas Governor Laura Kelly plans to sue lawmakers who overturned an executive order limiting the size of religious gatherings in the state. The last thing I want right now is a legal battle, Kelly said at news conference Thursday, according to the Wichita Eagle. But as I said yesterday, Kansas lives are on the line, and I took an oath to uphold and defend the Constitution. Well, that's why they overturned your veto. They used the Constitution. In the order which capped religious services to 10 people or fewer per recommendation from the CDC was struck down Wednesday by the Republican majority state legislature. The order built upon a stay-at-home order Kelly declared March 24th. Kelly called their decision shockingly irresponsible and an action that will put every Kansan at risk. The potential legal battle comes as millions of Christians around the country prepare to celebrate Easter. As of Thursday afternoon, Kansas has reported 1,106 confirmed coronavirus cases, 42 deaths. So the exact same numbers as Minnesota. That's the exact same numbers almost as Minnesota right there. Exact. So you look at this, and people are starting to question. They're starting to question things. Right? They're starting to question the narrative a bit. They're starting to say, you know, I don't know about all this. We're trying to see the importance of this, but we're not really seeing it. Okay, let me show you something else. Fauci finally says what conservatives have said for weeks, U.S. death toll will be lower than thought. In an appearance on MSNBC Wednesday, Obamacare architect and public health expert Ezekiel Emanuel sounded a clarion call. It could be a year and a half until life gets back to normal. Realistically, COVID-19 will be here for the next 18 months or more. We will not be able to return to normalcy until we find a vaccine or effective medications, he said. I know that's dreadful news to hear. How are people supposed to find work if that goes on in some form for a year and a half? Is all that economic pain worth trying to stop COVID-19? The truth is we have no choice. That's not true. Sounds painful, but Emanuel made it clear he thought it was for the best we hear these things now. One thing I've learned as a cancer doctor is that it's wrong to paint an overly rosy picture. I asked this earlier in the day, Dr. Fauci, director of the National Institute of Allergy and Infectious Diseases, what many conservatives have been saying for weeks, namely the death toll predictions, including the White House's own models, could be overestimating the number of deaths. Although one of the original models said 100,000 to 200,000 deaths, we're getting more data and seeing the positive effect of mitigation. Those numbers are down, going to be downgraded. I don't know exactly what the numbers are going to be, but right now it looks like it's going to be less than the original projection. He said this is going to be a bad week for deaths, but it was the beginning of a turnaround. Fauci added that this was going to be a bad week for deaths, but that it was the beginning of a turnaround. Do you see that? It's a beginning of a turnaround. Wait a minute. See, their numbers aren't working out the way they said they were gonna. This comes as one of the most cited models of coronavirus deaths and resource use from the University of Washington Institute for Health Metrics and Evaluation revised its projections of U.S. deaths downward by over 35% and moved the estimated peak of the virus up to April 11th. The IHME model, which factored in every state using issuing stay-at-home orders, had originally projected 93,531 deaths through August and a hospital bed shortage of 87,674 at the peak. That was revised downward. On Wednesday, the projected death toll was revised downward further, and an estimated 94,000 beds needed, about 16,000 more than would be available. The model has predicted that 50,000 beds would be needed in New York. The actual number was 12,226, 400% too high. Right? 400%. Any person in the private sector that was 400% off would be fired. Wouldn't they? Nobody would pay a guy that was 400% off. The IHME was considered one of the more conservative models as well, originally projecting a range of 38,000 to 162,000 deaths in the United States before August 1st, significantly lower than the White House's projected 100,000 to 240,000 deaths. Fauci's appearance on Fox News was a sign that the White House was rejecting its projected totals as well. How those numbers were arrived at was the subject of much discussion when they were released last week. What we're seeing is a large majority of American public are taking the social distance. That's a bunch of garbage. That's why you think that happened? Because we all ran to our houses? I'm sorry. I'm not buying that. I'm just not buying it. So if you all just live in your houses and stay away from everybody, yeah, you'll never get a cold. But guess what? You'll never live either. There are going to be a few bright spots this week during what the Surgeon General Jerome Adams said would be the hardest and saddest week of the crisis. Really? Because I don't see a Pearl Harbor moment here. I mean, do you see how they're conditioning people's minds for this? Seattle's, here's one. How about this one? Anyway, I read you that one. And praise God. Look, I thank God that everybody's not that sick. But I'm starting to feel like, hey, guess what? You got lied to. Seattle Army Built Field Hospital is coming down with treating a single patient, without treating a single patient. Now look at this. Even as some questions remain about the extent of the outbreak in Washington State, Governor Jay Inslee Wednesday announced he would return to the federal government the field hospital recently assembled in Seattle's CenturyLink Field Event Center to help the healthcare system cope with the new coronavirus. With the USNS Comfort still stationed in New York and the USNS Mercy in Los Angeles, Inslee's decision could mark the first return. Recent days has cited more favorable projections for what to come the next of the outbreak, COVID-19. The state that at one time led the nation in cases and deaths, as of Wednesday afternoon, there were 9,000 confirmed cases of coronavirus with 421 deaths. Still, those downward revisions come as state officials have struggled to post full and timely reports for hospital admissions of patients with suspected confirmed diagnosis. Inslee also said that he was returning 400 ventilators to the federal government's national stockpile to assist other states in worse shape. Oh, boy. I don't know what that was. I'm sorry, guys. I don't even know what that was. Wow. Man, I should have put this sticking safety thing on. My goodness gracious. Anyway. Let's see here. Anyway, so what we have there, I read that one. Let me see if I have another one here on that. I'm going to switch gears here in a minute. So when you look at these numbers, praise the Lord, they're not what they said. You know, and again, you'd be fired if you were 400% off at your job. But you look at that, right? How in the world? Hang on a second. How in the world do you go from 400 400% Well, Now we're going to switch gears a little bit. So there's resistance all over. By the way, let's see. All right, good. We're going to get to that too. Okay. Here we go. So there's resistance all over. Let me give you another one before I get to this Olstein one here. How about this one? Eamon Bundy still plans to hold Easter gathering despite social distancing requirements. Eamon Bundy, the rancher involved in two armed standoffs with the federal government over grazing rights in the western United States, said that he plans to hold a large Easter gathering in Idaho despite the state's stay-at-home order amid the coronavirus pandemic. Bundy said that he plans to hold a gathering in Idaho of several hundred people in a location that's yet to be decided. The declaration from the rancher comes as Idaho reports more than 1,300 confirmed cases of coronavirus, 24 deaths due to the disease. Governor Brad Little instituted a stay-at-home order on March 25th that will expire on April 15th, though it is likely he will extend the order until the end of the month. Our goal is to get enough people together and secure our rights. We are not trying to provoke. We want people to be able to worship, Bundy said in a phone interview, according to CNN. Bundy reportedly seemed unafraid of contracting or spreading the virus, appearing to welcome the thought of infection. I actually want the virus, he said. I'm healthy. My family is healthy. I'd rather have it now so my body's immune to it. That's an interesting point, isn't it? Though the virus is most lethal to at-risk groups such as people over the age of 65 and those with pre-existing health conditions, many younger healthy Americans have suffered severe respiratory reactions to disease, causing intensive care. Additional data compiled with countries that have seen massive outbreaks have shown that more men than women are dying from the virus. According to CNN, Boise, Idaho police said they were aware of Bundy's plan for Easter gathering, but they do not have any other details about the events as of Thursday evening. In addition, a representative from the police department said that they have not issued citations to those who have violated the stay-at-home orders. Bundy has been vocal about his opposition to the order instated by the governor. The rancher has been holding anti-stay-at-home meetings and has threatened to march on the governor's home and the homes of other government officials, according to the news source. Bundy's action also comes as several religious groups across the country have resisted orders to closing services and to stay at home amid the pandemic. So, looks like he's doing some fighting there. Good for him. Now, let's switch gears here for a half an hour, and let's get into the charismatic stuff for a bit. And here's the reason why I want to do that. Because there's nothing that survives a pandemic better than apostasy. You know, along with all the pestilences and the things that come on this earth, the falling away must take place first. Let no man deceive you by any means. For that day shall not come except there come a falling away first. And that man of sin be revealed, the son of perdition. this know also that in the last days perilous times shall come. For men shall be lovers of their own selves, covetous, boasters, proud, blasphemers, disobedient to parents, unthankful, unholy, without natural affection, truce breakers, false accusers, incontinent, fierce, despisers of those that are good. Traitors, heady, high-minded, lovers of pleasures, more than lovers of God. Having a form of godliness, but denying the power thereof. Now, I want to show you something else about this. And I want you to listen. I know you all are talking about fudge over here. You're talking about fudge. This is not Fudge Friday. Unless Lisa sends me fudge. Then it's Fudge Friday. Okay, here's another article. Man, I want to get over here to this. I got to show you what I just saw come up. It just got emailed to me. Let's see here. All right. Look what happened here. As the resistance goes on, judge denies request to allow Easter church service of more than 10 people in Virginia. Judge denies request. A judge has denied a request by a Virginia man to allow a church service to take place on Easter in the state, despite a state order barring large gatherings to help curb the spread of coronavirus. Larry Hughes, a retired teacher from the Russell County, has filed legal action against the Commonwealth for its stay-at-home order, which did not exempt religious events. Judge Michael Moore denied the injunction request on Thursday, meaning that church gatherings and more will not be permitted. Well, that's not true, actually. You could try to stop it, but you can't. The equities do not weigh in petitioner's favor based on this epidemic, ruled Moore, as reported by the Bristol Head. Boy, that's a far cry from the Virginia Baptist. I'll tell you what, when they were full in Orange County and they dominated Orange County. And to say that this injunction to be granted would be in public interest is not defensible. Here, uh-oh, what did David Ickes say? Virginia Attorney General Mark Herring expressed support for the injunction denial, saying a statement that that the order was a matter of public health. On Monday, Hughes filed a lawsuit against Nordham's order, arguing in the complaint, the measure was a threat to religious freedom. It ignores the special status of protections afforded Virginians to relative their religious liberties recognized and more clearly amplified than in the United States Constitution. T. Shea Cook, the lawyer of Hughes, told the Richmond Times-Dispatch after the Thursday hearing that he considered the injunction denial to be a dangerous precedent. But see, here's the thing. Here's the thing. If you look at this, this guy might be dealing with an incorporated church. See, there's going to be a battle there coming. Now, let's get back to Joel Osteen here. Joel Osteen enlists Kanye West, Mariah Carey, and Tyler Perry for Easter Sunday amid coronavirus pandemic. Joel Osteen is enlisting some big-name friends to help him celebrate Easter Sunday, despite his church observing social distancing guidelines. The Lakewood church pastor revealed that he plans on having Mariah Carey, Kanye West. Mariah Carey, a stinking whore. Literally, an absolute whore. That's her. The Lakewood church pastor revealed on that he had them on board for Sunday's virtual service. While West has collaborated with Osteen in the past, this marks Carey's first time joining him in his congregation. You know, I had known Mariah from years past, and we had talked about doing something, he told the outlet. They actually contacted us because she wanted to show some support and honor to the first responders. Kanye West previously collaborated with Joel Osteen when it came to the West involvement. Osteen seemed to have fewer details, noting that the artist plans to bring his Sunday service choir in for whatever his part in the Easter celebration is. He's handling that part, Osteen said of West's logistics. I'm not sure so sure what he's going to do, but he sent me a couple of pictures where it looks like they're going to keep social distancing. I don't know. Kanye is one of a kind. He'll figure out some way to do it. As for Perry, the 57-year-old pastor had nothing but positive things to say about the celebrity. Oh, I bet. Mariah Carey will perform from her home studio, but told producers she couldn't close the door and would need to keep an eye on her kids. Okay. Tyler has spoken at my church before, he explained. He's a very powerful speaker, so he sent us a 5-minute clip where he's just encouraging everybody through the difficult time. He's just a very powerful speaker and a very loving man and a very generous man. You know, isn't it amazing? I can't help but be reminded of this when it comes to Tyler Perry.
Would you come tell what the Lord told you? God bless you. It's caught me a little off guard, Bishop. Three or four days ago, I called. I was at Manpower. And being blessed, wrote my check out. I said, you know, I didn't have my checkbook when I got to Pastor White's. When I got to a woman that I lost the night before, and Pastor White said, you know, write a check for $113,000 for those of you who can. Write a check for $113 for Psalms 113. And I wrote a check for $113,000. And I admit, my intention was to just leave the check and bless God. Because, see, I love to give. I've been a giver all my life. And when people have given to you and sown into you and God has touched them and given you favor. Because, see, when you have favor with, come on, somebody. See, they don't understand it where I come from. They don't understand it in Hollywood, but I'm going to tell you something about the blood of Jesus. All of my life, you know, my mother, she didn't have much to give me. She didn't have millions of dollars. She didn't have some legacy, but she had Jesus. and she taught me about that God. So I didn't even know that he was.
So did she teach you to dress up like a woman and in drag and do videos and do movies and make millions of dollars and work in a wicked industry?
He was trying to build this youth center. I didn't even know it, but I know how important the youth are. So we were sitting in the service, and I leaned up toward him, and I said, I've just been touched to give $1 million. So as... So when you got up here and you said $1 million, I said, God, I don't know what you're doing, but I know I heard your voice. Hey! Nobody said. Sometimes you spend too much time worried about your haters. You spend too much time worried about people talking about you. But what you need to understand is that the Bible says in order for you to be blessed, your haters have to be present. How do I know that? The book of Psalms says he prepareth a table before me in the presence of my enemies. So in order for me to eat, they have to be present. So God bless you, Bishop. I pray right now that you will continue to do everything you're doing. I pray his anointing will stay upon you. I pray the power of God all over you. I pray his favor. I pray the blood of Jesus will come upon you right now. Keep you in his care. God, I thank you for your blessings.
Now, that right there is when you get $1 million. And you are a charlatan, when you are a absolute devil, and you are a money-hungry grubber, that's why you go into convulsions like that. It ain't got nothing to do with that anointing you just got. You just got $1 million. I don't know what to do with that.
Come on, somebody give God some praise. He's pushing that baby out.
Oh.
Come on, he's pushing that baby out.
He is.
Somebody hold up.
Look, somebody better tell him he's a man. He ain't got no baby in him. That could be a bad bowel movement that needs to go through. He might have something caught up in his colon or something, but it ain't no baby.
Push! Push! Praise him. I can't hear you, praise him.
Man, if you had to go home with something like that, you would chew your arm off to get away from her. Anyway, all right. That is the Tyler Perry that he's talking about. Joel Osteen revealed a handful of celebrity friends that will help him. His interview with the gossip site concluded with a question about pastors who run similar churches balking at the government's social distancing guidelines and refusing to stop holding service. While Osteen noted that he is observing those guidelines, he stopped short of condemning those that don't. I don't want to judge anybody else. Because I feel very strongly about their faith. Because they feel very strongly. It's not a lack of faith that we're not having services. It's a respect to mankind. That's all that it is. It's just a respect to mankind. I love everybody. Okay. Anyway. So, you're telling me. You see, these charismatics, they never stop. They never quit. Except if you notice how they're pretty quiet right now. You notice how they're pretty quiet right now for the most part. About healings and everything. Let's see if I can find it here. Let's go to videos. Here it is.
When
will
Almighty
strong
south wind
heat
Burn this thing.
Don't they sound like... Okay, here's what they remind me of. I can't help it. This is what it reminds me of.
Earth.
Wind. Water.
Heart.
Go.
By your powers combined, I am Captain Planet.
Captain Planet, he's our hero. Gonna take pollution down to zero. He's our powers magnified, and he's fighting on the planet side. Captain Planet, he's our hero. Gonna take pollution down to zero. Gonna help him put asunder bad guys who like to lose.
Too, 'cause saving our planet is the thing to do. Looting and polluting is not the way. Hear what Captain Planet has to say.
The power is yours.
Okay, remember that? Okay, so let's go back to this. Now remember this. Listen to how he, listen how they say that.
Win!
Almighty,
strong,
south wind.
My little pony, my little heat, twinkling spring.
Burn this thing. In the name of Jesus,
in the name of Jesus,
you bow your knee. You fall on your face.
COVID-19, I blow the wind of God on you.
You are destroyed forever. And you'll never be back.
Thank you, our God.
Let it happen. Cause it to happen.
He called it out. It didn't work, though. It didn't work, did it? No, it sure didn't. Okay, let's see here. I'll give you another heresy update here. Since it's Friday, I got this sent to me too. Our world is hurting, silenced and isolated. Experience the power of Good Friday and the hope of Easter. Join us for a worldwide broadcast. Nikki and the crew. Let's see. So Kenny tried to get it to go before, but it didn't work. He tried it one other time. Here was the first time he tried it.
We'll exercise judgment right now.
Because we
in
have...
In the name of Jesus!
Oh, thank you, Jesus.
Standing in the office of the prophet of God, I execute judgment on you, COVID-19.
Oh, Ramash.
I execute judgment on you, Satan, you destroyer, you killer, you get out, you break your power, you get off this nation. I demand judgment on you. I demand a vaccination to come immediately.
Yes.
Wait, why do you need a vaccination? Wait a second. Let's remember this.
I call you done. I call you gone.
This guy's so fake.
You come down from your place of authority, destroyer. You come down and you crawl on your belly like God commanded you when he put his foot on your head in the Garden of Eden. You will destroy through COVID-19. No more!
No more. No more.
It and the United States of America is healed and well.
Thank you.
Again.
Praise.
Saith the mighty.
Hallelujah.
Spirit.
Glory.
Glory. Peace, who is also the Prince of War, the Lord Jesus Christ. When oppressive, mean, nasty people attack his people. When mean, oppressive, nasty diseases attack his people, George, the Prince of Peace takes his place. And he becomes the mighty man of war.
Thank you.
Does anybody believe that guy? Like, really? But I just have you remember that he said he commanded a vaccine to come out. Well, there's something wrong with the mojo.
Well, listen, partners. We don't have a flu season. We've got a duck season, a deer season. But we don't have a flu season. And don't receive it when somebody threatens you with everybody's getting the flu. We've already had our shot. He bore our sicknesses and carried our diseases. That's what we stand on. And by his stripes, we were healed. If you've already got the flu, I'm going to pray for you right now. Father, I pray for every person that has symptoms of flu. I'm asking you, Lord, by your supernatural power, to heal them now from the top of their head to the soles of their feet. Flu, I bind you off of the people in the name of Jesus. Bind you off of the people's feet. Flu, I bind you off of the people in the name of Jesus. Jesus.
There you go. So one of them's binding the flu off. The other one commanded it gone. That didn't work. So he came back a week later. And then he said, or that week he said he commanded a vaccine. Then that didn't happen. So now he's commanding a, now he's blowing a wind. He's blowing the virus away. So these charismatics, they don't stop there. But have you noticed that not very many people are calling them to, like, repentance? Like, well, where's all your healing at? Where's Paula White's healing? Right? Where is all that? We don't see any of that now, do we? We're not seeing those things now. See if I can find this thing that Jacob tagged me in a few days ago. I don't know if I can find it. Oh, I can't find it. But anyway, might have been. Oh, let's see. Here it is. I wonder if I can find it here. Look at this. I like what this guy says. Everyone's a secessionist in a pandemic. Some just continue to lie about it. Right? All of them are now. Let's see. Here you go. You don't hear much about these guys getting around anywhere, do you? Look at this. Bethel, Reading, and Bethel, they're healing rooms. The healing room is where we pursue the Holy Spirit and His healing power at a special time of ministry. I wonder why he did his hair on purpose like that. That's weird. See, these guys, they're kind of quiet on the whole healing front, though. They're not really pushing themselves out there. I don't see any of them doing a whole lot of stuff right now, are they? And why is that? See, their apostasy is going to... Their apostasy is rising. But they're going to lay low. They're going to lay low. Because they know full well that they don't have the truth. Sometimes it's God's will for us to be sick. Sometimes it's God's will. Questions. See here. Okay, let's see. Kayla asked a question about the Pope. I think all that Pope does is play games. He is leading a transformation of the Roman Catholic Church. That's what his goal is. That's what he's always done. That's what he's going to do now. His goal is to lead a transformation of the Catholic Church. That's what he's doing. Let's see. What will the likely scenario be when you resume gathering? What do you mean by that exactly, the likely scenario? Explain to me what you mean by that, Mike, then I can better understand that.
So free.
Somebody asked the question, do you think that more false teachers will rise in the time period when taking advantage of the unsaved? Yes. I believe that these scenarios that are lining up are scenarios that lead to more Antichrist push. That's what they do. Yep, I do. I believe that's what a lot of them do. Mm-hmm. What would I look at doing? What I would, if you mean that, Mike, what would I look at doing? I would look at the numbers around, like when the governor says the threat is over, when there is a discernible safety in the assembly again. I'm not waiting for the governor to do that per se. I'm waiting for me to understand when that time is there, and I need to get alone with the Lord to pray to figure that out as I look at all the numbers. I probably, when I do, if the order is not lifted yet, or if I would, and the order is not lifted yet, I would not be broadcasting it live, and I would not be I will not air the services live when I do that, and I will not, you know, make it so it's in people's faces, if that's the case, you know. That's the scenario that I'm looking at in that sense. The last thing I'm doing is trying to put it in people's faces. What are they transforming the Catholic Church into? They're transforming the Catholic Church into something. The transformation is coming. And I'm telling you what, some of you are going to be surprised by it. And you don't understand what this Pope is doing. But he is transforming the Catholic Church right before our eyes. That's exactly what he's doing. And yes, Rome has always been a harlot. But Rome has had a secret doctrine, an open doctrine, and it's had a secret doctrine. But what Rome is doing right now is laying down all of the obstacles that would hinder a one-world church. It's laying them out. It's laying them down. It's making room for them. It's sliding things aside. It's getting rid of traditional things that would hinder them from being that one world, merging into what will be that one world church. That's what it's transforming into. And it is making a transformation. This is not Benedict's Roman Catholic Church. Hardly what it was under Benedict or Pope John Paul. Hardly. Hardly. And they are changing it quickly. So it's changing to be more progressive, less traditional. So anyway, I got to go. I got a Cairo appointment. I got to get out of here. But pray for us. Pray for our services Sunday. Pray for our needs. Pray the Lord will continue to bless us and meet our needs and take care of us. Pray that the Lord would bless the work that we do. Stephen, it wasn't the time to do it then. It wasn't the time to do it then. Now it is. And they have done things like that in the past. Pray for us. Pray for our needs. Pray for the church. Pray for people's health and for wisdom and guidance. And we will be broadcasting on Sunday. So we'll see you then. Take care.